Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
In today's scripture, John the Baptist has sent some of his disciples to question Jesus as to his authenticity as the Messiah. Some argue that John did this because he was incarcerated and expected rescue. And Jesus was not acting the way that many of the Jews expected the Messiah to act. That is, to rescue them from the secular rulers and put Israel back in its place at the top. Another side argues that John sent his disciples with this question because they were losing faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Again, because Jesus wasn't rescuing Israel from the evil Roman Empire. But included in Jesus' response are the three messianic miracles, along with all the other miracles that he performed, thus proving that he is indeed the Messiah. And that is what he told him to take back to John. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Matthew 11, 2 through 11. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleaned, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in the king's palaces. Then what did you expect to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it was written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. It may seem kind of inappropriate to talk about broken dreams and disappointments this close to Christmas. But after all, this is a season to be jolly, but it's not a jolly time for everyone. For those who have lost loved ones, this can be the loneliest time of the year. In a world that glorifies materialism, those who are struggling financially may find it to be very disappointing, and some willing to do almost anything, to go rob a bank or steal from their family, or to take the family savings and go out and gamble it all away, hoping to enrich themselves, to do anything to try to keep up with what they see on TV. Our friend John the Baptist knew about disappointments. John is in prison now, and he's looking for a sign that a long-awaited Messiah has finally arrived. That's ironic to me. John the Baptist is the one who first proclaimed his coming. But much has happened since John last saw him preach. We saw John preaching and baptizing people in the wilderness, and now his heart is downcast. Things have not gone the way that he really expected them to go. You remember John's message was, repent and the kingdom of heaven has come near. This message really burned in John's soul. John wasn't afraid to proclaim his message to religious leaders or royalty. It didn't matter. He wasn't even afraid to proclaim it to King Herod himself. That was why he was in jail. This was not the King Herod who was the ruler at the time of the birth of Jesus. This was his son, Herod Antipas, who turned out to be worse, if possible, than his father. Herod Antipas seduced and later married his brother's wife, but first he killed his own brother. The nation was in shock, and John the Baptist condemned the king's behavior and was placed in prison for it. While in prison, John realized that his career as a prophet would soon be ended and his life would be over as well. There was one thing that John wanted to know before he died. John wanted to know beyond a shadow of a doubt if Jesus really, really was the Messiah, the one they had waited for, the one that Israel had prayed for, the one that Orthodox Jews still pray for today. Can you blame him? He'd given everything that he had, including, in a matter of days, his very life. He wanted to know, has it all been in vain? Was it an illusion? Was it just a pipe dream? In the wilderness, John had believed Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, but in the face of certain death, he began to have some doubts. He wanted to know for sure, so he sent his followers to find Jesus and ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? John the Baptist found himself in a disappointing and disheartening predicament. Things were not working out like he had expected, and sometimes that happens. Disappointment. John the Baptist was in Herod's prison. He was hurting physically. He was hurting spiritually. He was hurting emotionally. He was gripped with disappointment. John was disappointed because he had different expectations of what the Messiah would do. He was a prophet of his time. He expected the same kind of Messiah everyone else was expecting. One who would drive out the despised Romans and establish the kingdom of God there in Israel. And while languishing in prison, John must have wondered why this wasn't happening. What was Jesus, if he was the Messiah? What was in the world is he waiting for? Now is the time. Strike. For he must have thought to himself time and time again, why doesn't he drive these Roman dogs out of our holy city, out of our precious land? Leo learned about that kind of disappointment as a teenager. He said, I remember the sudden appearance under my family's Christmas tree of the largest present that I had ever seen in my life. It stood at least a foot taller than me at that time and heavy, and it had my name on it. During the weeks leading up to Christmas, he could think of all kind of things that it might be, but he could think of nothing else but that present. And on Christmas Day, his family gathered around it, and the main attraction was the opening of my present. How many times in the past 2 weeks had I anticipated this moment? Every time I thought about opening it, and I remember experiencing a vague sense of disappointment, the great mystery was about to end. I could no longer be able to engage in my soaring dreams of what was in that package. My present turned out to be a beautiful handmade desk that my uncle had built for me. But by this time, nothing of this world could have satisfied my expectations. I can't imagine what I expected. Still, in that disappointment was a lesson learned that lasted a lifetime. Sometimes we're disappointed not because of what we received is bad or not good, but because we have faulty expectations. There are people in this very room who feel that somehow they have been cheated by life. But I can guarantee you that right now, if you lost everything that you had for a period of time, everything, And then after a period of time, everything that you had lost came back to you. You would be exceedingly happy. The problem is not what we have. The problem is our expectations. John the Baptist expected the Messiah to come by storm, but nothing seemed to be happening. It was not Jesus who was at fault. It was John's expectations. John was disappointed because he was looking for the wrong signs. The followers of John the Baptist caught up with Jesus and asked Jesus questions. Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? And Jesus looks at them and he answers them. You go and tell John what you hear and you see. The blind are getting their sight back. The lame are walking. The lepers are being cleansed. The deaf are hearing. The dead are even being raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. The kingdom of God is here now. You tell John that. Just look around you. The kingdom of God is among you. Centuries before, there was a prophet named Isaiah. And Isaiah prophesied about what would take place when the Messiah would arrive. And Isaiah said, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer. Those weren't the signs, though, that John was looking for. He was looking for something more dramatic. He was looking for thunder, and he was looking for lightning. Charles Carroll, in his travels, tells about a Christmas tree growing in a very unlikely place up high in the Rockies, on a barren stretch on U.S. 50. Not another tree in sight. Not another single tree. There's one juniper tree that grows. And one year, someone went up and hung a Christmas ornament on that tree. And evidently, someone else did. And by Christmas time, that juniper tree that should not have been growing in that barren, dead space where things cannot grow was a Christmas tree. And people would ride by there, and they were filled with hope. It is the Christmas message that there is life and hope even in a rough, barren world. Isaiah wrote, the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. But these aren't the kind of signs that impress people. We want greatness written large across the sky. But that's usually not God's way. God chooses to work in the little insignificant places and things of life. He worked in a virgin girl. A manger, a carpenter's shop, and the most shocking of all, upon a wooden cross. John was disappointed because he didn't give God time. John wanted action now, and we can understand that in light of his current situation, but God takes his own sweet time whether we like it or not. And I usually don't. I want it on my time. You do too. We always do. After all, he'd been working on this world for a long time, but his purpose is just as sure, and God's plan is just as unstoppable. What God has planned is going to happen. We're not going to make it happen, and we're not going to stop it from happening. Lincoln Steffens remembers one Christmas while growing up that he wanted a pony more than anything in this world. And he told his parents, if I can't have a pony, I want nothing. I mean nothing. He and his sisters got up on Christmas morning, 6 a.m. You know what it's like. You run down and you look and start tearing into the presents, looking under the Christmas tree. And his little sisters, all excited, and they're looking at the presents, and they see the little boy standing there, Lincoln. And he's looking. Nothing. Not a single present. Not one single present. Or didn't he say, if I can't have a pony, I want nothing? So his little sisters loved him. They all went running out of the room up to their bedrooms crying because they felt sorry for their brother. They loved him. And he went out to the stable and his mother came to comfort him because all he wanted was a pony. And notice his father watching him from a window for a couple of hours, and he said this was his worst Christmas ever. Not one single present. Can you imagine that? Not a single present when people are around you opening presents. Then he noticed a man riding down the street on a pony. And he looked again, and the pony had a boy's saddle on it. And he noticed the man looking at the numbers on the houses. He looked at his paper and he looked at the number, and then the man went on down the street. Lincoln said, that's the last straw, and he threw himself down and just kicking on the floor and crying just beside himself. Then he heard a knock on the door and knock again. He looked out the window, and there was the man standing in his yard with the pony. He runs down. And the man with the pony says, are you Lincoln Steffens? He says, yes. He says, this is your pony. I've been looking for you. To this day, Lincoln says he still doesn't know if that was his best Christmas or his worst Christmas. You see, the pony was always coming. It was coming. But it didn't come on Lincoln's time. It didn't come with his expectations. He was impatient, and uncertainty drove him to the brink of despair and tears and upset that may would have caused him to do something he would have regretted even at that young age. I've been there in my personal life. I think you have too. I think we all have. Because God doesn't work according to your time schedule. He works according to God's time schedule. And sometimes he doesn't appear to be working at all, but he is working. He really is working. Sometimes you can't see it, you can't feel it, you don't believe it, but he's working. He wasn't working according to John the Baptist's timetable, but he was working. In fact, that's why we celebrate the life of John the Baptist 2,000 years later is a sign that God was working. And I ask you, how about you? How about you? Is your life filled with disappointments because you have unrealistic expectations about life, about your job, about your marriage, about your church, about your God? Are you looking in all the wrong places to find happiness? Many people are. They're looking to casinos to get rich. They're looking to buying a lottery ticket. Easy way out. I'm not saying you can't ever buy one, but that's their way. Are they looking to an illicit romance to fulfill some need in their life? Are they looking to steal something to get easy money? Are they looking to put someone else down to try to make themselves feel better? But all those are negative things that destroy you and hurt you. They never build you up. Kindergarten teacher kept lined up with little cherubs at a play, and they had little signs, four of them, to spell out stars. They lined up, as kids do, backwards. You know what stars spells backwards? Rats. That's how we feel sometimes. Instead of getting stars, we're getting rats. Everything is turned upside down. It's not the way we want. It's not the way we expect. It's not on our time schedule. But settle down. Spend some time with God. Let Him fill you with the peace that only God can fill you with. These things of the world, while some of them are nice, and we all enjoy them, and they'll bring you some peace and happiness for a while. But only the peace of God will fulfill you for life. Bethlehem teaches us about expectations and signs and patience. God begins with a simple babe, humble surroundings, and He works slowly but surely, and He will come back in power and glory. But God is at work in this world and in your life at this very moment. So let's not lose hope. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Amen.